Does anyone here remember day timers? I bring up something from the distant past. Up until just a few years ago, I kept all of my appointments in a day timer. I was kind of a late comer to having a smartphone, but now most of my appointments are on this little device here. Well, however we keep track of our schedule, it does help to have things on a calendar to make sure you're in the right place at the right time. But I don't know if you've ever noticed this, that sometimes it's the things we haven't planned for, serendipitous encounters, that become the most significant in our lives. Such was the case for a man that we read about today in our gospel passage from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Listen for God's word to you. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May God add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of the scriptures. So why was Jesus going through Jericho? And where was he going? Jesus had just told his disciples, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." Luke tells us the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. But I think it's important for us as readers of Luke's gospel to keep in mind where Jesus was going as he passed through Jericho. William Barclay tells us that Jericho was a very wealthy and very important town. It lay in the Jordan Valley and commanded both the approach to Jerusalem and the crossings of the river, which gave access to the lands east of the Jordan. It had a great palm forest and world-famous balsam groves, which perfumed the air for miles around. Its gardens of roses were known far and wide, and men called it the City of Palms. Josephus called it a divine region, the fattest in Palestine. The Romans carried its dates and balsam to worldwide trade and fame. And all of this combined to make Jericho one of the greatest taxation centers in Palestine. Now there was a man in Jericho whose name was Zacchaeus. And that name comes from a Hebrew root word that means bright, clean, or pure. But most Jews in first century Palestine would not have thought of a tax collector as bright, clean, or pure. The reason for this is because tax collectors not only represented the hated oppressor, Rome, but in order to make a living, they would add their own fee on top of the taxes they collected. And some of those fees might be exorbitant. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So this suggests that he reached the pinnacle of his profession, but he had done so at the expense of others. Now, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. Here was this famous healer and teacher passing through his town. And it's understandable that Z might want to get a good look at him, just as any of us might want to see a famous person passing through Stowe. But Z wasn't the only one trying to see Jesus. There's this crowd lining the street as Jesus comes along. And Zacchaeus is a short man, so what is he going to do? He does something very uncharacteristic for an adult male of that time and place. He hikes up his robe into his belt and he starts climbing a tree. We must have here an eyewitness recollection, because we're told even what kind of tree it is, a sycamore tree. But Zacchaeus was not just trying to see Jesus. He was trying to see who Jesus was. And I believe that we too need to seek to see who Jesus is. And finding out who Jesus is may be the most important thing we can do in this life. That is, if Jesus really was and is the one he claimed to be, the Son of God. If Jesus was not the Son of God, then I don't think finding out about him is any more important than finding out about any other ancient teacher. But you know, there's another side to seeking. Not only was Zacchaeus seeking Jesus on that day in Jericho, but even more importantly, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Passing through Jericho, Jesus sees old Z up in that sycamore tree, and he calls him by name. "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Now, we don't know whether Jesus knew his name because of divine revelation or because of some human means. But whichever way you look at it, this suggests to me that Jesus had an appointment of sorts with Zacchaeus that day. Zacchaeus didn't know who Jesus was. He'd never met him up to this point. But Jesus seems to know who this little man in the sycamore tree really is. And whatever we think of that encounter, as Christians, we believe that Jesus, reigning from heaven right now, does know everything about you and about me. The Bible tells us he is not only our Redeemer, but our Creator. And I believe that Jesus is calling out to each one of us today. He wants to stay at our house. Even more, he wants to live inside of us from day to day. And what is our response to this? When Jesus told Zacchaeus that he was to stay at his house, Z came down immediately and received Jesus gladly into his home. Many years ago, I had the privilege of sitting on the back porch of Billy Graham's mountaintop home. And later that day, I was to speak to a group of children. And, you know, my whole conversation, I had all these questions I wanted to ask Billy Graham. And he was a very hard person to be able to ask questions of, because if you were to meet him, he would always be asking questions of you. He would always be more interested in you than you were in him. And so he kept asking me questions. And when he heard that I was going to talk to a group of children later in the day, he said, well, what are you going to talk about? And I said, well, I'm planning to talk about this story of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. And Billy said to me, well, do you know what D.L. Moody said about this story? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, Moody said that Zacchaeus was converted between the limb and the ground. I love that. And I hope the same would be true of you today. If you've never come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I hope you find that between the limb and the ground before you even leave here today. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, see, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. Norman Vincent Peale used to tell the story of a midwinter revival meeting in his father's little Midwest Methodist church. The revival meetings in their church always drew lots of people because in those days there was no competition from television or radio or even movie theaters. It was a cold February night. The snow lay in drifts all around the white steepled church. But inside, the place was filled to the very last seat with many people standing. And Norman sat toward the front with his brother Bob. And that particular night, his father preached on the greatness of Jesus Christ and how Jesus can change even the worst of lives. And at the end of the sermon, his father gave an invitation for those who wanted God to change them to come forward and commit their lives to follow Christ. And there was a moment of silence. And then Norman said he could almost feel the whole church shake as a heavy-set man started down the center aisle. Seated at the end of the pew, Norman looked back to see who it was. It was Dave Henderson, a tough character, easily provoked into a fight, a guy who often used profane language. Rumor had it that he was a wife beater, and he was certainly an alcoholic. And this Dave, who no one except the preacher ever held out any hope for, this Dave was marching down the aisle, quite unconscious of the reaction from people around him, tears streaming down his cheeks, and he received Jesus immediately and gladly into his life. And after praying with the preacher at the altar, Dave got up from his knees, and as he turned back to face the congregation, all he could say was, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And Norman Vincent Peale said, the look on his face said it all. It was a look of beauty, joy, and wonder. And his life was changed from that moment. I wonder what the look was on Zacchaeus' face as he tumbled down from that sycamore tree. Well, Luke suggests to us what the look was on the faces of people in the crowd. They all began to murmur, Jesus has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. You see, Zacchaeus was an outcast. And it makes me wonder, who are the outcasts today? Who are the people we would rather not have anything to do with? Who are the people we would find it difficult to welcome into our church with open arms and a warm embrace? Zacchaeus knew what people were thinking and saying about him. He knew he was an outcast, but his encounter with Jesus so transformed his mind and his heart that he wanted to set everything right, not only with God, but with other people. And so in response to that grumbling crowd, and even more in response to the grace of Jesus Christ, he says, look, have my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I pay back four times the amount. The restitution that he made was more than what was demanded in Jewish law. His life was so overcome by the positive power of Jesus Christ that he wanted to give back more than what he had stolen from others. And I believe that if Jesus enters into our house, if he enters into our hearts, we will have a similar response. As many of you know, Jesus entered my family's house in 1949 when my father happened to attend a Billy Graham meeting in Los Angeles. And up until that time, he'd been involved in organized crime. He had cheated and stolen from a lot of people. But he decided he was going to do exactly what Zacchaeus did in this story. He was going to pay back everyone he had ever cheated, everyone he had ever stolen from. And when he was finished, my parents really didn't have anything left other than the clothes on their back. No car, no house, nothing. But two little children. And God provided for their needs every step of the way, all the way through to my mother's passing on to glory in August of this year. Every need taken care of. Because they chose to do it God's way. When Zacchaeus gave half of his possessions to the poor, he paid back those whom he had cheated. And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I've shared this story before, but it's such a good one that to me sums up the message of the gospel, and particularly this gospel story. The story of the boy who fashioned a little boat out of wood. And he spent so much time and so much of his money on it. And he loved that little boat. And finally, when it was finished, he took it down to the stream behind his house to have it set sail. But the current was swift that day, and pretty quick it went off to where he couldn't catch it. And he walked away sorrowful. But a few days later, he was walking down by the stream and he saw another little boy with a boat. And the closer he got, he realized it was his boat. And so he went up to the second little boy and he said, that's my boat. I made that. I'd like to have it back. And the second little boy said, well, you can have it back, but you got to pay me first. So the first little boy went home and he gathered up all of his allowance and took it to the second little boy and he gave it all to him. And the second little boy gave him his boat. And as he walked away, he was heard to say, "Little boat, you are twice mine because I made you and I bought you." And that's what Jesus says to each one of us here today. He wants you to be twice his. Because he made you. He's your creator. He knows everything about you. But not only that, he bought you by his blood shed on the cross. So that you can belong to him for all eternity. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this true story of Zacchaeus. And I know by personal experience, this isn't just a story about something that happened long ago. But it's the story of something you are continuing to do every day of every month of every year somewhere around the world. You are changing lives. I thank you for the way you changed my father's life just like you changed Zacchaeus' life. I thank you for the way that you are changing my life. I thank you that I am twice yours. You are my creator and you are my redeemer. I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray for each person here today that they would know you in both ways, as their creator and as their redeemer. And if you've never accepted the love of Jesus Christ into your life, the forgiveness of sins, I pray that you take this quiet moment right now just to talk to Jesus and ask Him to come into your life. And Father, I pray that you would help each one of us to be like Zacchaeus in making that 180 degree turn from serving self to serving you. And help us to make that turn every day. We pray this in your matchless name. Amen.